You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
If Charles' DNA was on the bat, then wouldn't that tell us something also?
That he touched the bat at some point?
Yeah, that he took it from Tylee, like she said in her interview.
And I'm going to object and move to strike that.
The jury should disregard that last question. That information is not in evidence.
Detective, wouldn't that have answered some questions for us in your investigation?
I don't think it would have, no.
Okay. We learned that the gun in testimony, that the gun was tested just last month. Is that correct?
Correct.
And who requested that test?
I did.
And why did you request that test?
So on firearms, immediately after we have a firearm case, we have the ability to utilize a system called NIBIN. NIBIN is run through the ATF, and what NIBIN will do is we can fire a particular firearm that we have control over and obtain casings from those. We can then take the casings from the scene casings and then compare those together. We already knew that gun fired those casings very early in the investigation, as a NIBIN report provided. However, ATF will not testify in court. So playing the balancing game of when a trial will begin and whether a trial will even happen, I do not like to make more work for a firearm analyst than I have to. So when we know that we are in and going to trial, then I will send that over to them because they were the ones that will testify to that.
Okay. So it wasn't after my investigator suggested that none of the guns had been tested?
No.
That you
no.
ordered that test?
I never spoke to your investigator about that anyway either.
Okay. So, Detective, when did the Chandler Police Department take possession of the gun?
On July 11th.
And then it was tested in March, is that correct?
Correct.
And then we've established through expert testimony of Detective Coons that the floorboard was not tested either, is that correct?
Correct.
And he also established that the projectile was not tested either, is that correct?
Correct.
And Detective Coons also confirmed that no tests were done on my husband's shirt, is that correct?
Correct.
And then when you became the case agent on this case, why didn't you request any of these tests?
Because I was confident that based on the medical examiner's report of an entry wound to the lower left quadrant, an exit wound to the upper left rear shoulder, and a corresponding defect, or what I would refer to as a bullet strike in the floor, if you take those 3 points and match them up, then there's no other explanation other than Charles was laying on the ground at that time.
So the medical examiner said he could not say that he was laying on the ground for sure, but you're saying that in your detective opinion, you know that for sure?
I believe so, yes.
And so were you there to witness it with your eyes?
No.
Detective, to your knowledge, did my brother and my daughter and myself willingly comply with everything asked of us by law enforcement on July 11th, 2019?
I can't speak to that, no.
Did we answer all the questions asked to us?
I have nothing to say you didn't.
Did we follow all directions given to us by law enforcement that day?
I'm going to object to speculation and foundation as to how this detective knows that. He's already said he wasn't at the station.
He's the case agent, Your Honor.
He can testify to what he observed for himself, so if you want to tailor your question, go ahead.
Would you say that according to every report and every detective that you've talked to and anything else, that you would say that we fully complied with law enforcement that day on July 11th, 2019?
Check to hearsay.
I'm going to sustain the objection to the form that it was asked.
So according to all the reports that have been given by everyone who was there, and you're the case agent, so you're in charge of all of these people, is that correct?
I'm not in charge of them, but I have read the reports.
So you have read the reports.
Yeah.
And as far as you know, to your knowledge, we fully cooperated with law enforcement that day on July 11th, 2019?
And again, object to hearsay. And lack of personal knowledge.
Sustained.
Has it come to your knowledge that we did not comply with everything?
And I would object to the exact same thing, lack of personal knowledge and hearsay.
He can answer that question.
Can you ask that again?
Have you come to the knowledge that we did not comply that day for any reason?
I have not.
Okay. Did I turn my husband's phone over when asked?
Yes.
Did Alex turn his phone over willingly?
I am not sure when Alex or if Alex turned his phone on. I'm not aware of that.
Okay. So is there a body cam where his phone was placed into an evidence bag? That's correct.
I do remember seeing that, yes.
And then the evidence bag is put into the front of the police car where he was taken to the Chandler Police Department. Is that correct?
I didn't see that, but I trust the fact that it was taken at that time, yes.
And so according to that body cam, it looked like he turned it over on request.
And I'm going to object to speculation.
You don't have any knowledge that he didn't, is that correct?
I'll allow that last question.
I don't have knowledge, no.
Okay. So do you know who had taken possession of his phone at that point?
I don't.
Do you know who drove him to the Chandler Police Department?
Well, through this hearing, Officer Krautheim.
Oh, that's right. The one I couldn't remember how to spell. I mean,
again, you're asked.
Sustain, please don't testify.
Was a copy of Alex's phone made by the Chandler Police Department?
I don't know.
You don't know?
There's so much information. I don't know whether we've received his call detail records or an actual copy was made. I don't know.
So you're the case agent?
Yeah, I'd have to look and see if that was the case.
So you're the case agent, and you don't know if the person who shot my husband's phone was ever...
Yeah, at this moment, I don't recall.
So there's no cell bright of it. Is that correct in the discovery?
Defensive and...
I think the only thing that we have is his call detail records, which would be from his cellular provider.
So what would the typical protocol be for you to, if someone handed over their phone, wouldn't it be to do a digital download of it?
So that can be one of two ways. It could be under a search warrant to do that, or it can be under consent to do that. I do not believe that that was... I don't believe that his phone was extracted at that time.
So he would have to give consent? Is that what you're saying?
Or a search warrant, but that would have been through Detective Moffitt.
So Detective Moffitt would have had to get a search warrant and then he would download it?
Based on their conversation, whether Alex would be willing to do that or whether a search warrant was needed, but that was Detective Moffitt's call at that time.
And he decided not to do that?
I don't know what his process is. Or his thought process.
Well, I'm saying that he did not do that, and you're the case agent now, so you would know if that was done, correct?
You're asking me to speak for Detective Moffitt, whether it was done or not?
No, I'm asking you to speak as a case agent now if you know if it was done or not.
I believe it was not.
Okay. Do you think that would be important to your investigation?
Absolutely, knowing what we know now, yes.
Okay, you're a detective, right?
Correct.
You have to look at all the angles, right?
Correct.
You don't know what happened, right? Mm-hmm. You just stated that you weren't there, right?
Correct.
So wouldn't that be crucial information that the police department didn't bother to take?
Once again, I don't know what the conversation with Detective Moffitt and Alex was and what his reasoning for not. Would I have taken it? Yes.
But that was not your call at the time.
Correct.
And so in lieu of that, what did you do to try to obtain that information?
We got his call detail records through his company.
And so is it safe to say that it's much better to have the actual phone to do the extraction so that you can have everything that was on the phone?
Yeah, but you can also obtain a lot of that stuff through other means, through iCloud records, Google records. But yeah, it is nice to have that phone.
So would you call that an oversight by Detective Moffitt?
Object to speculation.
Sustained.
So was the phone then returned to Alex that day?
Yes.
How did that happen? Was it just handed to him or?
I'm not sure.
Okay. And that would have also been Detective Moffitt's call?
Correct.
And we haven't heard from Detective Moffitt, is that correct?
Correct.
So according to your knowledge, that when Alex was called by Chandler Police to return to the scene for the walkthrough by detectives, he did so, is that correct?
Yes, he did.
You saw him there?
Yes.
And did he answer everyone's questions while you were there, that you observed?
Yes, he did. There was very little questioning. It was just more of a positional type thing. It was, where were you?
It was more, I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
Where was he? Where was he standing during the time?
Oh. And so he kind of walked it through with you, and all four of you were there, right?
Yes.
Five. And no one was asking him any questions?
Your Honor, I'm going to, again, we've already gone through this before, asked and answered, as well as verging on hearsay.
I'm going to sustain the objection. How much do you have left on your cross, do you think?
I don't know, Your Honor. A lot.
In other words, more than a couple minutes, should we take our afternoon break?
Oh, yes. We should take a break.
Let's take our afternoon break for staff. It'll be about 15 minutes. Please remember the admonition.
All right.
I'm going to advise the defendant that anything that this witness read in another officer's report, he can't testify to whether those things are true or not, unless it fits into some exception to hearsay or non-hearsay for you to establish that. So you have, please don't ask any questions that he can't verify. He can testify to things that he observed, saw, or heard, but again, if you're referencing another report that another officer wrote, he won't be able to testify whether the contents of those reports are true or not unless he has some sort of personal knowledge.
I understand, Your Honor.
All right, let's bring you can come back up, get ready to resume your cross. We'll bring the jury in. Thank you. The jury is now present. You may be seated. You can continue with your cross-examination of this witness.
Detective Duncan, in all those text messages, we saw a lot of people. Did you interview our mother, Janice Cox?
I did not.
Did you read or watch her interview?
I have not.
Did you interview our sister Summer Shiflett?
I did not.
Did you read or watch her interview?
No.
Did you interview our father, Barry Cox?
No.
Did you read or watch his interview?
No.
So the only source that you have for this investigation of the shooter in your case is through our brother Adam? Is that correct?
And all of the contacts mentioned through your iClouds.
Yeah, but you didn't ask anybody who was mentioned in there or who was speaking in there what they meant by any of those text messages?
Well, none of the people that you mentioned were present during this incident. So you're asking about the actual date of July 11th, if I asked them about that day or about the text messages?
About the text messages themselves. Like, did you ask my mother what she meant in that text message when she wrote it?
No.
Did you ask my sister what she meant in those text messages?
No.
Did you ask Melanie, my niece, what she meant in those text messages?
No.
Did you ask me what I meant in those text messages?
I couldn't.
Okay. And through your investigation, you found out that, as you testified earlier, that Alex wouldn't text or call Adam back. Is that correct?
I'm not interpreting as far as he wouldn't do it. What I'm saying is I don't see it. So if there's a message there and there's a text, there's no indication that there was a callback or a text back.
So it looked like that he wasn't calling him or texting him back, even though he was getting calls and texts. Is that correct?
And then Adam also testified that he did not receive a call or a text back, which would be consistent with the records.
So the only person in our family, in our whole family, that you got information from was the estranged brother from our family who didn't know what was going on with everybody else.
I object to the form of the question. Argumentative.
Well, it's also compound. I'll sustain the objection.
Okay, so Adam, our estranged brother, is the only one that you got information from. Is that correct?
Can I object to the form of the question?
Sustained.
So is this your normal protocol to just talk to one witness and not all the others?
No.
Why didn't you speak to any other member of my family?
A lot of members of the family have been spoken to.
But you were not privy to any of that information as the case agent?
Well, I was privy to the interviews that were conducted by other detectives.
And you just testified to me that you didn't read or watch any of those interviews. Is that correct?
I have been present during an interview or a phone call with Summer, and been present during a phone call in this process, but I have never interviewed them.
How many interviews has Summer had with the police departments?
Objection, speculation.
If you know.
He can answer if he knows.
I don't know.
More than one or two?
I don't know.
Okay, but you knew of at least one.
That Summer has had?
Correct.
Yes.
But you didn't ask her any of these questions or any of the questions about the text messages that you just talked about that were on the screen with Summer?
I said no.
Okay. So as the case agent and a detective, do you form a suspicion and then stick to it and only investigate the things that lead you to that same conclusion?
No.
You had testified earlier about the story of Nephi, is that correct?
Yes.
And you said that you researched it, is that correct? What research did you do?
Well, the very basic research. I Googled who is Nephi, what does Nephi stand for? I've also, through this process over the last 4 or 5 years, have asked other members of the church just a simple question, tell me about Nephi. And every single person I talk to tells me that same story that was told by Adam.
So are you aware that there's 15 books in the Book of Mormon?
I am not.
Are you aware that 4 of those books are books of Nephi?
I am not.
That there's Nephi 1, 1st Nephi, 2nd Nephi, 3rd Nephi, 4th Nephi?
No, I'm not.
Okay. That there's many stories of Nephi. Is that correct? Or you don't know?
I don't know.
So the very first story is the story that...
Can I even object to testifying?
It sounds like that's the way it was going. So please just ask questions.
So you did not read the Book of Mormon?
No.
You did not read 1 Nephi?
No.
You just asked people. That was your research?
I asked members of that particular church, and I also did an internet search, yes.
So you did an internet search, and it gave you all the stories of Nephi?
That's the story that came up.
So how long did you do that research for?
I couldn't tell you.
So in your research, did you discover that there's about 25 stories of Nephi in that Book of Mormon?
I didn't see that, no.
And that there's four different prophets that are called Nephi in the Book of Mormon?
I'm going to again object as to testifying, and the detective has already indicated, so asked and answered.
I'll overrule the objection. He can ask if he knows that or not.
What was the question? Sorry.
I'm sorry. I can't remember. Can the court reporter?
There's four different people referred to as Nephi.
Yeah, four different prophets in the Book of Mormon that are Nephi. Are you aware of that?
No.
Okay. So isn't it true that you really have no idea what I was referring to when I referenced Nephi in my text message?
I can only go off of what I see. I can't tell you what you're thinking or what you're trying to relay there, but based on my knowledge and based on talking to people about who is Nephi, that is a story that came up consistently.
You relayed to the jury that it was an order to kill. You relayed to the jury.
I said that the story was the same story and similar to Adam, that Adam told.
Okay, and you said it earlier that was an order to kill, that I referenced Nephi. I will be like Nephi and you will be like Nephi. To the jury here today.
Ask a question. That's a statement, not a question.
Do you have knowledge that my text message meant that at all?
No.
Are you aware through all of your investigation of this case that my brother was a stand-up comedian, Alex?
I had heard that, yes.
And that everything is a joke to Alex?
I can't speak for that.
So when you're interpreting all these text messages and making all these assumptions, half of them could be jokes and you would not know that?
Objection, speculation.
Sustained.
Were you speculating when you read my text messages?
I think I'm just reading your text messages. I don't think I was drawing any inference from them. I was just simply reading them.
Well, today you were explaining them to the jury. Is that true?
Those were read. There was no explanation as to what it meant.
As the case agent, what is your communication with the other investigators in this case?
What do you mean by other investigators?
So who is on your team? Who is working for you on this case right now?
I'm the only person working on the case right now. Back in the, when this, we were investigating it, it would have been myself and Detective Coons. And then periodically we'd have Detective Werther do some work for us if we needed it.
And then do you guys communicate through emails or calls or text messages, or how does that work?
Well, unfortunately, we're cramped in a small little area, so we have the ability to just talk to each other.
So no reports are really made of that communication. You're just talking?
Correct.
And being a detective, is your job basically to be an investigator and search out facts concerning what happened?
Yes.
Do you feel like you've done that in this case?
I do.
So by not testing any of those things, you feel like you've done everything you could possibly do to tell the jury and to tell us what happened that day on July 11th, even though you weren't present?
Correct.
You're confident in that?
I'm confident.
Did you have to meet with Detective Moffitt to review the case when you made this transfer?
No.
So he didn't give you any heads up on what was happening?
Well, before he left, he just dropped the case notebook on my desk and then went on his way. We have had conversations before then and since, but nothing in detail.
So you didn't say what's been tested or what hasn't been tested?
No, that's for me to go back through and look at.
Through reports?
Correct.
Okay. So did you think it was important to maybe luminol the bat?
Once again, there was no visual blood present on the bat, and there was... And we decided that we were not going to do that particular process.
So can't blood be invisible and still be on the bat if you luminol it?
I guess if it's cleaned off, it would still maybe show some proteins, but that was something we decided not to do. We fingerprinted it to show, because there was indication that somebody, that Charles had grabbed it from Tylee. So we did our best evidence to try to grab that location where it would have been grabbed, but that's what we did.
Wouldn't that be important to your investigation?
Objection as to wouldn't what?
Yeah, please.
Wouldn't luminoling the bat be important to this investigation, this particular investigation?
I don't believe it would.
What about luminoling the gun? Was that done?
Once again, there's no visible, and there was. We were under the impression that it happened 5 minutes before we got there, and there's no visible presence of blood on the bat.
Well, you went around the whole entire house looking for blood, is that correct?
Yes.
And you had the gun in your possession?
Yes.
And you're in a police station?
I was at your house.
I'm saying you have access, as the case agent, to have any of these things tested, is that not right?
Yes.
So why didn't you test them?
Because I did not think that luminol would was needed to be tested because there was no visual blood.
So wouldn't you like to know that for sure?
I guess you're making, we make choices and we make decisions through this process based on the facts that we have and the facts that are presented to us. And based on the facts presented to us and what we saw and what we had, I did not feel that was necessary.
You have charged me with a crime. Is that correct?
I have not, no.
You have helped them charge me with a crime. Is that correct? The state of Arizona?
I conducted an investigation and I sent it forward, yes.
And you did not feel it was necessary to test any of these things?
Objection.
As the case agent.
Answered like 4 times.
Sustained.
What logical reason do you have as an investigator to not investigate all of these things that were available to you for the past 5 years?
Your Honor, I'm again going to object to asked and answered. If there's a specific thing that hasn't been asked?
That's a really very broad question. I'll sustain the objection.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Redirect.
Detective, I'm going to start by just talking to you a little bit about luminol. Is luminol a process used where you believe a scene has been cleaned up, like somebody actually attempted to remove blood from the scene, and so it's been diluted?
Correct, and it would show the remaining proteins left, yes.
And it's, so luminol is used when there is no visible blood because the scene's cleaned?
Correct.
And so in this case, you were under the impression that this homicide had occurred 5 minutes before police arrived?
Yes.
So you would not be expecting a cleaned up scene?
Correct.
But you did look to see if you saw visible blood?
We did, yes.
And by visible blood, you're talking about drops of blood that might be there?
Correct.
Swipes of blood that might be there?
Correct.
Hairs from someone's head that might be stuck in the bat?
Yes.
And did you see any of that?
No, we did not.
Now, after this, did you learn that there was actually this 47-minute process?
We did.
So when you're processing the scene that day, you were not aware yet of how extensive this timeline was incorrect.
Correct.
In fact, we heard from Detective Werther that it was sort of the next day as he started going through the phone from Charles.
Yes.
And the day after that, as he's going to get videos from Burger King and Walgreens, that you're learning that this timeline is very wrong.
Correct.
I want to talk about the data that you have reviewed in this case. When you talk about what was reviewed, whether by you, let's just say by you. In these iCloud accounts, are you talking terabytes of data?
Yes, each iCloud account can have terabytes of data. And you have to, and it's tedious because you can only look at one at a time. We can only look at one particular iCloud at a time and go through that, make notes. Then you'd have to shut down, open up another, and look through one iCloud at a time, and then try to, with your notes, to match these together. So it was a very labor-intensive process.
And as you're looking through this, are you then learning more things that then makes you have to go back to the other iCloud account to try to see what you could find in that?
Absolutely.
So when we come in here with just a few documents and a few things, would it be fair to say that's just a grain of what you've gone through?
Absolutely.
So on July 11th of 2019, when you arrive at this scene, you think this homicide just occurred, did you understand at that time the relevance of cell phone or iCloud data?
No. What's something that happened, what sounded like it was a rather quick incident, it just happened 5 minutes ago, I wouldn't think of the necessity for cell phone data, like to show planning or anything like that, or show conversations over the weeks and months. Sometimes we get cases where, oh, this person's had beef with me forever. Obviously, I am going to want to take that phone and go look through that. But in this case, we just had something reported to us that happened just 5 minutes and very limited information, as it was almost an impromptu attack. We had no information at the time that this is something that had weeks, if not months, of planning.
On July 11th of 2019, did you start to see inconsistencies between the statements that were being given, the timeline, and the physical evidence at the scene? Did you start to see some inconsistencies?
Yes.
For instance, you were provided with a self-defense theory. Did you see inconsistencies between that statement and what you're seeing at the scene?
Yes.
And that's where we're talking about the location of the bullet wounds to Charles, the bullet strike under his left shoulder, and the bullet being by his left shoulder for one of those shots.
Correct.
But again, you're still not aware of the background of these individuals?
Correct.
As you began learning more information about the interaction between Charles and Lori Vallow and learned about the individuals, were you then able to obtain information to allow you to write search warrants to even obtain phone records and iCloud accounts?
Yes.
So that's not just something you can be like, hey, I just want that, so I'm just going to ask iCloud for it and I'll just hand that right over?
Correct. You have to have probable cause in order to get that.
You were asked about DNA and blood, and I think you had said something about it. Is DNA only found in blood?
No.
So saliva can have it?
Correct.
Sweat?
Correct.
So when you're asked about blood on the bat,
that isn't the only form of DNA that would be left on there potentially.
Correct.
So if you had information that the bat belonged to Tylee, no matter what, you would expect to find her DNA on it.
I would.
Not, regardless of whether she ever bled on it, right?
Correct.
Was blood something different you were looking for, though?
It was.
And was that due to the fact that there's this allegation that Alex Cox was hit in the head with the bat?
Yes.
And so we have the bat here. You looked at it yourself, did
yep.
not see visible blood?
I did not.
And we have someone else who processed it and didn't see visible blood on it?
Correct.
Even on the edge top of it, do you see any sort of damage to that plastic around the tip of it?
I do not.
If you had processed that bat for DNA and you found Tylee's DNA on that, would you have told you that she put it on there on July 11th? Did they ticky mark that for you?
They would not.
Would just say it was on there, right?
Correct.
Are you able to time that in any way?
No.
When the medical examiner comes out, the medical examiner's office comes out to the scene to collect the body. Body doesn't leave in an ambulance, right?
No, it does not.
They have a van.
Yes.
And does the doctor who's performing the autopsy come out there with you guys and
no,
check
he does,
out the scene?
He does not.
So when a medical examiner testifies as to a wound being shored but not knowing what it was against, he's not out at the scene looking at the body, right?
Correct.
He's not out at the scene looking at the projectile defect or on the ground underneath Charles's left shoulder.
Correct.
He's just saying that wound is shored. Whatever he was against is what it was.
Correct.
But you were at the scene.
I was.
And you saw the shoulder in line with that defect on that ground or on that floor that you collected.
Correct.
Now, did you ever have any information that Janice Cox or Barry Cox or Summer Shiflett were present at 5531 South Four Peaks on July 11th?
We did not.
In fact, did it appear that Summer was actually going out of town, so she wasn't going to be around on the 11th?
Correct.
Now, you had mentioned that you were present when Summer and Janice were interviewed. Was that when the state interviewed them when they were listed as witnesses potentially for the defendant?
That is correct.
And in fact, did you recall Summer being asked about her offering her house to the defendant to stay at?
I do.
What we had seen in the text message?
Correct.
Was there anything about that statement that appeared to be untrue based upon your hearing or participating in that?
There's nothing.
In these text messages and iCloud account records, start with Ned. When you first started seeing those, were you understanding the full story of where that came about?
No.
Did you then have to look to other people who, like Serena Sharp, or Christina Atwood or others who were aware of who Ned was?
Correct.
Or what Ned was?
Yes.
In terms of Nephi, you said that we heard from Adam when he's asked about Nephi, what that meant to him.
Correct.
And he provided us with a story of Nephi and Laban, right?
Correct.
You said you Googled this like many of us do, right? Start out there.
Right.
And then you actually spoke to other members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
I did.
Was that to make sure that you weren't missing something?
It was, to make sure that there wasn't another story that might be out there that he's known for. And so, like I said, I would just randomly ask people that. And every single time I would ask that, that was the story that was told to me.
Okay. So others who were members of that church spoke the same way that Adam did?
Yes.
You were asked a lot about sort of processing of the scene and processing of the items of evidence. Was this case, let me ask you this, was the physical scene itself inconsistent with what was initially told?
Yes.
And did it require additional research into all of these different iClouds, cell phones, cell tower records to clarify what happened?
Yes, as the weeks and months went on, additional information was learned that basically required those accounts to better understand what took place.
And was that what then you spent months going through?
Right.
And ultimately, after all of that, is when you eventually presented that case or turned it in to be reviewed?
Yes, I did.
I have no other questions, Your Honor.
All right. Are there any questions for this witness from any member of the jury? I see at least one. Well, I think we're going to need that exhibit. Go ahead. We'll see if he knows, though. Regarding the pictures on Alex's phone sent to Lori, what was the time on the top left corner of the pictures? Do you recall?
I don't know for certain. It was afternoon.
Would it refresh your memory to look at
yes.
that photo?
Yes.
What exhibit number is that from?
This is 222.
All right, so that's been admitted into evidence.
The time is 2:13.
And the next question is the countertop in that picture, do you recognize that as the whether or not that's the same countertop at the Santan, the Four Peaks address?
That is not the same as the Four Peaks address, no.
Okay. Before I go for follow-up to the parties, are there any other juror questions? I don't see any. Follow-up from the defense based on that juror question?
No more questions, Your Honor.
All right, from the state?
Just that in that exhibit, the photo, of the phone, do we see both sort of Tuesday, 9:08, when these messages occurred? Let me pull in. As well as sort of what time the phone is showing.
Yeah, and I think the most telling thing is this is a communication between Adam and Charles. Clearly, the only phone that they had would have been Charles' phone, not Adam's.
And this conversation matches what you saw extracted from Charles's phone later between he and Adam on the 9th of July.
Correct.
No other questions from me, Your Honor.
All right, you can step down, sir.
Your Honor, at this time, the state has no further witnesses. The state will rest.
All right. The state has rested its case, which means the state's portion of the evidence is done. I'm going to excuse the jury for a few minutes. Before you go home for the evening, let me just do a consultation with the parties about tomorrow's schedule, and I'll let you know what time to report back. It should just be a couple minutes. So please remember the admonition. We'll let you know what time to report back tomorrow.
All right, for the jury.
Please be seated. All right. State's rested, so. Do you plan on presenting evidence?
Can I confer with my
team ahead.
For a minute? Your Honor, I'd like to address a Rule 20 motion first.
Go ahead.
Okay. The state has failed to show substantial evidence for count one, conspiracy to commit first degree premeditated murder. The state has provided no evidence that I agreed with another person that any one of us would engage in certain conduct that I intended to promote or assist in this premeditated murder. Crime premeditated murder requires the state to establish a person caused the death of another with premeditation. The lack of evidence to show any evidence of a conspiracy to commit murder, there was no plan to murder Charles. No evidence has showed that, in fact, evidence suggested self-defense on the part of Alex. So I would like to put that on the record.
All right. State, want to put a response on the record?
Yes, Your Honor. Looking at the evidence in the light most favorable to the state, there's sufficient evidence based upon everything from the iCloud messages from between Alex, the defendant, and others leading up to July 11th of 2019, that Alex Cox was invited over by this defendant, knowing that they were going to be having an intervention and knowing when Charles would be there and bringing a handgun over with him, the timelines on July 11th of the killing of Charles Vallow, and the fact that the number of shots and the physical evidence at the scene, the statements by the defendant to Detective Enclan that she took Charles Vallow's phone and would not give it back to him, the motive for money, and especially the defendant's motive for having an affair with Chad Daybell, all of those looking at together in the light most favorable to the state, the defendant or the jury could find the defendant guilty of conspiracy to commit first degree murder.
Last word. Do you want to add anything?
No, Your Honor.
All right. The standard is whether or not a reasonable juror could, whether or not there's substantial evidence for a reasonable juror to find the defendant guilty. The court does find that there is substantial evidence that a reasonable juror could find the defendant guilty. The court will further add that the jurors are the ones who judge the credibility of the witnesses, and its order denying the Rule 20 motion. Are you going to present evidence tomorrow, either through witnesses or through your own testimony?
No, Your Honor, the defense will rest.
All right, if that's the case, I'm going to tell the jury how long does the state anticipate its closing argument being?
I would assume probably over an hour.
How about the defense?
Less than that.
Can we do the closings at 1 p.m.? We can formalize all the jury instructions at 10:30. Is that enough time?
The state would request that we do them Monday to ensure that I don't. The state would request we do closings Monday to ensure that we don't finish with a rebuttal closing on Monday.
Well, I'm willing to go in the morning if we want to start in the morning at 11 and do jury instructions at 10:15 or something like that. Does that work?
Again, I'm asking for Monday, but if the court does not allow that, then we'll go whenever the court says tomorrow.
All right. Do you want to weigh in?
Well, just that we haven't had time to go over the jury instructions. I don't get back to the jail until like 5:30 or 6 o'clock, so it'll...
You agree then that Monday's better?
I would agree.
All right, we'll tell the jury to report at 10:30 a.m. on Monday. They don't have to come in tomorrow.
Judge, could we have the defendant rest in front of the jury before they leave today?
Are you prepared to rest today? If you rest, that means you can't change your mind about testifying.
Can we do it on Monday?
We can do that on Monday, but if you change your mind, I need to know in advance because it's going to change the jury instructions and it's going to change the schedule.
Absolutely, I will let you know.
All right. Tell the jury they don't need to report on tomorrow, that they need to report Monday at 10:30 a.m. Okay? So let's meet tomorrow, though, to finalize the jury instructions. Why don't we just do that at, what's tomorrow, Thursday?
10:30?
We'll just do it at 10:30. That'll be enough time for you to read those tonight.
Yeah, if I could have time to meet with my advisory council before that, that would be great.
I can put it on the calendar.
Be brought in.
I can put it on the calendar for 10, and I think you, well.
11?
I can put it on the calendar for 10 so you can meet with them back here, and then we'll meet at about 10:45. We'll have come in the courtroom and finalize the jury instructions.
Okay. All right?
If I did give a copy to your advisory councils as well, or at least one copy there. So if the advisory councils and or the state review that tonight and see something additional or correction that needs to be made, go ahead and give me a heads up so we can be I can be prepared to talk about it tomorrow as well. So, all right, we'll see everyone in court at 10:45, but we'll put it on the calendar for 10 a.m. so that the defendant can meet with her advisory councils at 10 a.m. All right, thank you.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.